has experienced physical therapists who have provided quality care to our community for more than 35 years. Our mission is to empower individuals to achieve optimal health and well-being through personalized, compassionate, and innovative physical therapy services. We know you have the choice where you receive physical therapy, and we want to thank you for choosing PT Associates. Contact us at 620-208-7878. PT Associates of Emporia, located at the corner of 12th and Industrial.
All the latest sports news and views, actions and reactions, your questions and comments. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk on KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local.
Live from the historic Roger Hartsook Interview Room on the former campus of the College of Emporia, this is Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongBineAuto.com. A good Saturday morning to you here as the crew is all together. Blake Cripps, Tim Miller, and Dylan Sherwood in the penalty box today. Guys, how are we doing on this Saturday?
Fantastic.
I'm fine.
Good Saturday for both of you guys. Obviously, I kind of wish I wasn't here. I'd still be up in Kansas City, having a little bit of fun, but unfortunately, that's the way it is, and sometimes you don't always get that joy of being up there for a long trek. But
hey, so did the Washburn fans.
They also were not there for very long, as it turns out, Tim. It's interesting you mentioned that, because I've got the MIAA website picked up, and boy, what a win for Central Oklahoma as they were able to knock off the top-seeded Washburn men, of course, after eliminating Emporia State. So in the semifinals today, boy, 8-seed Central Oklahoma, 4-seed Pitt State for the men, 2-seed Fort Hays State, number 3-seed Rogers State. Any one of those teams can win the tournament. So, and that will be stealing a bid from some poor team in the NSIC that's had a really good year, because the MIAA is going to be a two-bid league. Not only that, but that Bronco loss probably knocks Washburn off the top line in the region. Probably ain't hosting games at Lee Arena next week.
Well, and, you know, Washburn, who had been so dominant throughout the season, they've lost a whopping three games now. But all these three losses have come, within the last couple weeks, 2-3 weeks?
Yeah, roughly. Yeah, the road trip that they lost somehow, I mean, you know, and that's, if you're an MIAA apologist, you would say, see, any team in the MIAA can beat. But it's not really, it's not that far off. I mean, they go down and they lose to Northeastern State and Arkansas Fort Smith, two of the bottom, you know, teams in the league. Now, Northeastern State wasn't at the time, but they, you know, since that, they flagged to end the year. I think they ended with a 5-game losing streak in Arkansas Fort Smith. They think they ended up in last in the KPI standings, or second to last. They in Northwest Missouri were right there at the very bottom. So, but, you know, they didn't get it done on the road, and so now, but losing in the tournament early isn't always,
no, it's not always bad.
Not always a bad thing, no. Though. Rest guys, and so we'll see. But Central Oklahoma, certainly, when they're playing well, they are very talented. Women's semifinals of the MIAA tournament today, Pitt State and Washburn, number 1 seed versus the number 5 seed, number 2 seed, Fort Hays State, number 3 seed, Missouri Western. So almost chalk.
Yep.
Almost chalk. Washburn knocking off the number 4 seed, Nebraska Kearney, 78-65. That was probably a game that the Lopers had to have to make an NCAA tournament run. So it was probably always going to be Pitt State, Fort Hays State, and then either Missouri Western and Nebraska Kearney. I don't think you were ever going to get two in, probably. And so that's probably going to leave Nebraska Kearney. They'll probably get ranked like 9th or 10th and not quite make it. So unfortunate for them. But, you know, certainly Washburn is back. And certainly, you know, if you're a Lady Hornet fan, the rivalry could be coming back a little bit with this is by far the best team that Coach Wessling has had. Yep. by far for Washburn. So
when at some point are they really truly going to take a look at getting rid of this regional stuff?
Been a while. Golly. I mean, I need to, you know, when I talk with around Memorial Day, we always have, and I say we always, I've been here for less than 2 years, but Around Memorial Day, we will talk again with Mike Racy of the MIAA. There's plenty of things to discuss with him in terms of basketball, KPI, football, the elimination of earned access in football, which is not a good thing if you're in the MIAA. But I know that one of the things that's top of mind for him now that the football situation has kind of been solved is the fact that regionalization in Division II sucks.
It does. It's ridiculous. Just take your best teams and go play.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I totally agree. So plenty of action on the hardwood collegiately, but boy, there is also plenty of action on the hardwood in terms of high school basketball yesterday, and we've got a couple of area teams that are punching their tickets to state, so it looks like we're going to be busy next week with the Lebo girls, the Chase County boys, and the Osage City girls all clinching their tickets to state. Certainly, Dylan, with your games last night, boy, Hartford gave it a heck of a shot to come back after a slow first quarter, but just came up a little bit short.
Yeah, and Hartford made some adjustments, and, you know, you got to give them a lot of credit because, you know, playing in a tough Lyon County league, it had to test them for this point. And, you know, talking to some other people, you know, I was talking to Sage Hadley's dad, Brian, who's the football coach at Levo, and, you know, after I got off the air, he said Hartford should have had that game. So
he scored 5 points in the first quarter. Sometimes it's hard to overcome, but they give it a heck of a shot there down the stretch, and we knew that for Madison, you know, playing Little River, they were so good. Mm-hmm. We knew that that was going to be a difficult stretch, but already those teams into state and a chance to get some more today. We've got two games coming up for you. The Olpe boys, a chance to punch their ticket to state. We'll have that on our airwaves. And then also, we're guaranteed to get one team to state today. Lebo and Hartford boys playing a game today. And we've got those games for you over on Country and Mix, and we'll detail that here coming up in a little bit. Coming up on the show today, we've got baseball coach Anthony Markowitz, the head baseball coach for Emporia High, and also James Westling. We are just 1 week away, less than a week away now, from the MIAA tournament. And so for the Big 12 tournament. And so we'll get a preview with him in terms of where that is going. And so Anthony Markowitz just arrived. And so now I believe it's probably – or he's on the phone today. Okay, so he's on the phone today. So Anthony Markowitz just dialed in. So it's probably time for us to get – to our Emporia Main Street Athletes of the Week. We name one athlete as our Emporia High Athlete of the Week. One athlete is our Main Street Athlete of the Week, our Area Athlete of the Week. So, Dylan, who's our Emporia High Main Street Athlete of the Week?
We're making history today.
Okay.
We are making history today. We are going to have co-athletes of the week for Emporia High. And they both were chosen here this season. But with the circumstances and them becoming the first two Lady Spartan state champions, we're going with Alexa Castillo and Kinsley Madrano.
Yeah, of course we should.
There you go.
The never, you can only win it once per season. Yeah, get out of here. Yeah. You win a state championship. Yeah. Very, very well deserving, both of those. So the first two Lady Spartan wrestlers in history to win state championships. Boy, it was a huge weekend last weekend for Emporia High Wrestling. How about an Area Athlete of the Week, Dylan?
Going to the Burlingame boys. This fella had a 44-point game on Monday. Drake Skirvin, as the Burlingame boys look for a state berth today as well. They play in Centralia against Clifton Clyde. So Drake Skirvin of the Burlingame boys basketball team, our Area Emporia Main Street Athlete of the Week. So, and we got one more week. We are going to make up from the week we had all that winter weather. So we'll select a couple more next week. So
sure. I wonder if maybe we ought to wait till after state championship day. Maybe select them on Sunday. That's what I would, because obviously, state championship, just a suggestion. Well, let's get to the phones, and Anthony Markowitz will take our first time out, and we'll preview Emporia High Baseball. That is coming up next here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongvineAuto.com.
At Longvine Auto Plaza in Emporia, our annual March Savings Mania event is back for another year, and the fun is here right now. It's Chevy Truck Month, and that means when you trade in your eligible model, you'll get $7,000 below MSRP on a new 2025 Chevy Silverado 1500 Custom 4x4. Or get a 2025 Chevy Trailblazer LS, only $399 per month, with $1,500 cash or trade equity. Or a 2025 Chevy Trax 2RS model, just $399 per month after $3,000 cash or trade equity. And when you purchase any new or used vehicle in stock, you'll get 5 free throw attempts for an extra $100 savings for every free throw made up to $500. Our annual March Savings Mania sales event at Longvine Auto Plaza in Emporia. Come on in today or visit us 24/7 at longvineauto.com. Chevy, together, let's drive. All rebates assigned to dealer. Tax and fees extra. See dealer for full details.
Are you looking to start or expand a business in the area? Do you want to invest in property development? Do you want to help build or grow events that draw people to our area? Are you someone that wants to volunteer to make the region better? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Emporia Main Street is the organization for you. Visit Emporia Main Street at 727 Commercial Street or visit us online at emporiamainstreet.com. Your path to a better community starts at Emporia Main Street.
I'm Ryan Radke with This Week in the NCAA on Westwood One. A salute to UConn basketball star Paige Beckers as the final season of her collegiate career winds down. The two-time first-team All-American has carved her own place in the hallowed history of the Huskies program. She won the AP National Player of the Year award as a freshman and helped lead UConn to the NCAA title game as a sophomore. However, Beckers then suffered a torn ACL that kept her sidelined for the entire 2022-2023 campaign. Beckers returned last year and reached the Final Four for the third time. This season, she has the Huskies hovering near the top of the rankings. And last Sunday, during her final regular season home game, her number 5 jersey was inducted into the program's Ring of Honor.
I don't know, the stuff that's happened to me here, happened to the team here, you don't really reflect on it until it's over. So it still, to me, feels like a dream, and it's not real. And it was really cool. I didn't know that was happening today. So to have that experience, to share that with my teammates and my coaching staff, it meant a lot.
George Mason Madness, next on This Week in the NCAA.
Hi, it's me, your USPS Ground Advantage shipment. Just left the warehouse and hitting the road.
I know. Just got the notification.
Great. Smooth sailing so far. I'm almost there.
Yes, I know. I get all the updates.
Made it. Safe and sound.
I know.
Well, did you know I was with USPS the whole time?
Oh, yeah. I know.
Keep your business in the know with the USPS Ground Advantage service. Visit usps.com/in-the-know.
Football team broke a Division I record that stood for over 40 years. On Tuesday, the Patriots scored 23 runs in the second inning of their blowout victory over Holy Cross. The previous record for a single inning was 21. That's been accomplished 3 times in D1 history. That's This Week in the NCAA. I'm Ryan Radke on Westwood One.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday morning sports talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back to Saturday morning sports talk driven by LongvineAuto.com. We are joined on the phone by Emporia High baseball coach Anthony Markowitz to preview the upcoming Spartan baseball season. 9-15 a season last year for Emporia High, but just one win away from qualifying for last year's state tournament. 3 players with all Centennial League honors last year for the black and red. Anthony Markowitz is our guest. Coach Markowitz, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys this morning?
We're doing just fine. Excited for a baseball season. I know Dylan's getting ready to get out there and watch you guys play a little bit this year. Can you just give us a recap of how you guys felt about 2024? I know that you felt like at the end of the season started playing some fairly good ball, and despite the record, felt like you guys made some improvements last year.
Oh, for sure. You know, we ended the year in the game that we want to end the year, or at least be in the game at the end of the year, the regional championship game. And so I thought, you know, our pitching was our strong point last year. I think it's going to be our strong suit this year for sure. And I think last year, you know, you get to the regional tournament and, you know, you have good pitching. It can take you. All you have to do is win 2 games. And so we won the first one. I thought we were in good position to win the second one. And, you know, we just came up a little bit short, but I think our guys remember that, and we have a lot of guys returning. We only lost one starter, and so a lot of those guys are back, and they're already talking about getting back to that same point this year and hopefully having different results.
Anthony, I was going to ask you about the pitching staff, just because, as we all know, pitching and defense certainly will carry you a long, long ways. Just talk about the arms that you do have coming back specifically, and is there good pitching depth for this team?
Yeah, definitely. I think our pitching depth, like you said, hit it on the head. I think that's our strength. I think we have more depth than we did last year, and that just is attributed to the guys, you know, getting better, getting bigger, stronger, maturing a little bit, you know, from where they were last year, and you know, working on their game. And I think that, you know, our pitching depth this year is we've thrown one bullpen so far in this week, where we had our guys throw about 40 or 45 pitches, and it's probably the best top to bottom that we've had in, you know, the 10 years I've been the head coach, and maybe even the 16 years that I've kind of helped out coaching. So,
well, you got like three of the guys you got back that have already signed, you know, Owen Ruge, Madden Seidel, and Andrew Ruxton, and, you know, those are the three that are going to have to carry you guys, and you got the supporting cast around those three.
Yeah, you know, those three guys definitely have taken on the leadership role, along with Luke Pittman and Landon Woolitz, our other two seniors. We got five seniors this year that have all been in the program, and, you know, we coached those guys when they were in eighth grade, ninth grade, you know, in the summer, and those guys have all taken on a leadership role, and they've, so far, and throughout week one, they've handled it tremendously, just like you would want when you have five seniors who've been there, who have been in the program, who have been to practice every single day. There's consistency with those guys, and that's the most important thing. And all five of those guys are great leaders, and you know, it's their team this year, and it's exciting to see them, you know, kind of step into their senior year and embrace a leadership role that we've kind of been looking forward to them embracing for 4 years now.
Anthony Markowitz is my guest. He is the head baseball coach for the Emporia High Spartans. Can you talk us through kind of where you are in terms of your preseason preparation as a team? I know that you are going to be the beneficiary of some pretty decent weather coming up. I know that we had a little dose of winter last week, but for the most part, it feels like weather's been pretty good. It's so interesting compared to college. You start in March, you get better weather than, you know, when you're trying to work outside in January and February, and the weather isn't as good, but high school seemed to have it figured out. How's preseason prepping going for you guys?
It's, you know, after week one, we've been outside 2 days. We were not able to go outside yesterday. They were doing some needed work on the turf out at Soden's. So we went inside. We got a lot of hitting in. We're going to go inside today and get a lot of hitting in. Hopefully next week we'll be outside. It's just kind of weird how the school calendar worked out this year, because then we roll right into spring break, which, you know, we always try to give our guys like the first half of spring break off to go be kids, go kind of enjoy themselves, go get a break from athletics. As you guys know, that the winter sports roll right into the spring sports. There's not a buffer period there like there is in the fall. But yeah, I'm ready for the weather to get better. I think it'll turn to more, turn to some better baseball, I guess I should say. I battled through it, I guess, when I was in college playing baseball with the winter weather, and I'll just say I don't think baseball belongs in the cold, I guess that's the best way to say it.
Well, the good news is, Coach, looking at that forecast, it's looking a lot better for you next week, so I think you'll enjoy it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it for sure.
Anthony, your expectations for this ball club as far as hitting, what kind of an offensive team could it be?
You know, that's the thing. I guess I'm the only one, or our coaching staff's the only one to blame for that. You know, we practice a lot on team defense and pitching, and we really emphasize team defense, pitching, you know, making routine plays, throwing strikes, being competitive on that side of the ball. And our idea is that, you know, at the end of the year, you get more at bats. You see quality pitching throughout the year that you're going to be your best hitting wise towards the end of the year when you need to be. And I still have that same kind of mentality. But I think we're really going to focus a lot on limiting our strikeouts, having competitive at-bats when runners are on base, being aggressive with runners on base in terms of at the plate. And that's something I think that, you know, ended up maybe getting us a little bit at the end of the year last year. But at the same time, you look at it the other way, and I think we definitely got better in that sense at the end of the year. I think we had more quality at-bats with runners on base. I think we had timely hitting, especially in the win against Andover Central in regionals last year. You would just like to see it a little more consistent throughout the year where we are able to get, you know, we got guys on all year last year. I think we did a great job of getting guys on base and getting guys in scoring position. We just got to get guys with the right mentality that up at the plate that are aggressive and hunt fastballs to get guys in.
Coach, what's the schedule look like this year?
I think we're on the road more than we are at home, which, you know, we were at home a lot last year, so that's pretty typical. But we got 5 home doubleheaders. You know, pretty strong schedule again this year. I definitely think that, you know, there's some wins to be had there as long as we approach everything the right way and, you know, kind of handle our side of the deal. You know, we can't really focus too much about who we play. We just have to focus on how we play ourselves. I think the end of the year, once the weather gets even nicer than what you guys were talking about, you know, we got our home quad or, sorry, not quad.
Classic.
It's not really a tournament. Yeah. There you go. Classic. We're 6 teams, and I think five of the six went to the state tournament last year, so that should be a pretty big showcase for people to see.
Well, final thing for you, Coach, your expectations for the team this year. Obviously, last year, you know, at the end of the year, you guys, as you said, were where you wanted to be with a chance in that last game to go to state. Despite the record, what do you want to be in that last weekend with a chance to go to state this year?
So this year we, I gave the guys a little homework, and we gave them a paper to fill out their goal for the team this year, their goal individually, and some other things that they wanted to have happen. And I think the same can be said, that I think I say this every year, is that we want to be playing our best baseball in May and give ourselves the best chance to win 2 games and go to the state tournament. But I really, really think that our guys believe that they can do that. I think they've always, you know, kind of agreed with that goal. But I think now, after seeing the way our year ended last year and just knowing the senior leadership we have with those 5 seniors, I think that goal is really, really crisp in their mind right now. And I think that's what they're playing for. They're showing up to practice for every single day. And that's pretty cool to see as a coach. I mean, that's what you want. That's why you do it. That their goal aligns with your goal, and that they kind of see the same thing that you see. And, you know, along with those 5 seniors, we got our other underclassmen that played last year, and it's passing over to those guys. So I really think that we can end our year in Wichita at the state tournament this year.
State, the season opener for you guys is when?
March 28th.
Yeah.
Okay. Against Ottawa. Yep.
March 28th against Ottawa. So about 20
against
days.
Ottawa, they're always a good.
Isn't Wichita South? I was
the
looking.
Next day.
Oh, it is? Well, yep. The calendar is not right on the school district. So
I suppose I could send you an actual schedule.
Sure. I would appreciate that. I trust you.
I would think that Coach would know the schedule better than the district calendar. I think I'll trust you, Coach Markowitz, any day over the district calendar. Anthony Markowitz we appreciate having you on. We'll have you on again during the season. Anthony Markowitz, the head baseball coach for the Emporia High Spartans, only 20 days away from opening day for Spartan baseball. Coach, best of luck to you. We'll have you back. Thanks so much for the time.
Hey, I appreciate it. You guys have a good morning.
We will do that. Yeah, Anthony Coach. Markowitz is my guest, our guest here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. And we are going to be previewing more spring sports coming up here as we move through the week. So stay tuned. Emporia High Softball, all the spring sports, we're going to get up to all of them during this show here in the coming weeks. One piece of business left on this show. Yesterday, I talked with James Westling, ESPN play-by-play, and also host of Big 12 Radio. He'll actually be doing shows next week in Kansas City. Couldn't talk to him today because he is getting ready for his call. He's got Cincinnati and Oklahoma State, a Cincinnati team that Joe Lunardi somehow still has as like the next four out, despite being 7-12, which I don't understand at all. But so potentially, you know, NCAA tournament bubble game.
Did Joe watch them against K-State? Am I missing something?
I don't know. I don't get it. I don't think that James gets it. But, you know, that's what Lunardi, you know, his track record speaks for itself.
It does.
And so,
well, he's got KU as an 8 seed right now. And
that sounds about right.
That's about right.
So, hey, KU could win the tournament, and KU could lose in the first game of the Big 12 tournament. So we talked about all that yesterday with James Westley. We'll have that for you next year on Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongBonAuto.com.
At Longvine Auto Plaza in Emporia, our annual March Savings Mania event is back for another year. And the fun is here right now. It's Chevy Truck Month, and that means when you trade in your eligible model, you'll get $7,000 below MSRP on a new 2025 Chevy Silverado 1500 Custom 4x4. Or get a 2025 Chevy Trailblazer LS, only $399 per month, with $1,500 cash or trade equity. Or a 2025 Chevy Trax 2RS model, just $399 per month after $3,000 cash or trade equity. And when you purchase any new or used vehicle in stock, you'll get 5 free throw attempts for an extra $100 savings for every free throw made up to $500. Our annual March Savings Mania sales event at Longvine Auto Plaza in Emporia. Come on in today or visit us 24/7 at longvineauto.com. Chevy, together, let's drive. All rebates assigned to dealer. Tax and fees extra. See dealer for full details.
Are you looking to start or expand a business in the area? Do you want to invest in property development? Do you want to help build or grow events that draw people to our area? Are you someone that wants to volunteer to make the region better? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Emporia Main Street is the organization for you. Visit Emporia Main Street at 727 Commercial Street or visit us online at emporiamainstreet.com. Your path to a better community starts at Emporia Main Street.
I'm Jim Baskwell, and Nikola Jokic wasn't joking with the Suns on Friday.
Jokic gets a pick from Porter, throws it to him as he leaked out. Got two hands! Pick and roll, Jokic to Porter. Denver leads it by 9. Jokic in the game tonight, 31, 20, and 20.
That's the Altitude Radio Network. Nikola Jokic, 31 points, 21 rebounds, career high, 22 assists. Denver outlasting Phoenix in overtime, 149-141. Jokic became the first NBA player with a triple-double of at least 30 points, 20 rebounds, and 20 assists. Meantime, Zach LaVine outshining De'Aaron Fox and Fox's return to Sacktown. LaVine scores 36 with 7 threes along the way. Kings beat the Suns 127-109. Ja Morant 31, including the game's final 7. Grizzlies rallied in the fourth to beat the Mavs 122-111. Knicks point guard Jalen Brunson expected to miss 2 weeks after spraining his ankle in that loss to the Lakers. James Harden scored 27. Clippers beat the Knicks 105-95 on Friday. Donovan Mitchell 24. Cavaliers 13 straight win. They shaved the Hornets 118-117. Aaron Wiggins 30. West leading Thunder beat the Blazers 107-89 without Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. 7 Wolves in double figures as Minnesota beats Miami for their 4th straight 106-104. And Emmanuel quickly scores the season high 34. Raptors beat the Jazz 118-109. You got the Celtics and Lakers later tonight. It's on ESPN Radio. Our coverage comes your way at 8 Eastern. Meantime, from the NFL, Geno Smith headed to the Las Vegas Raiders. They're sending a third rounder to Seattle to get him. The 2-time Pro Bowl quarterback reuniting with his former coach, who's now the coach in Vegas. His name is Pete Carroll. NHL, Jacob Chychrun scores the go-ahead goal in a 4-goal third. Caps beat the Wings 5-2.
live and local sports news and views. Saturday morning sports talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back to Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongbineAuto.com. As you are well aware, we are on the precipice of the Big 12 tournament, Big 12 women's basketball tournament going on right now, and the Big 12 men's basketball tournament getting started next week. The last day of the regular season for most of the Big 12 schools is today, and so no better time to bring on James Wessling. I talked with him yesterday about the exciting and sometimes unpredictable Big 12 basketball season, and we'll get his thoughts on how the Big 12 tournament's going to look next week in KC. Well, James, thanks so much again for the time. Really appreciate it. James Wessling of Big 12 Radio. You can follow them on TuneIn, Big 12 Radio on the TuneIn app. First of all, James, just what a season. Just can you recall a Big 12 season that quite went this way? I know for such a long time it was kind of, you know, okay, KU was going to win every year. But here these last few years, it feels like this one was maybe even more unpredictable than any of the others were.
Yeah, I definitely think that's fair. I think that you can make a case that the basketball season for the Big 12 was a lot like what we saw during the football season, just in
yes.
terms of teams that were, you know, expected to finish a lot higher than they did in the regular season, and teams that kind of came out of nowhere. But I think the biggest shock was just the fact that the regular season champion going into today has just one loss. We all thought going into the season with the new additions and the parity and all the good teams at the top that were ranked in the preseason top 10, it felt like the Big 12 regular season champion would end up with four, maybe even five losses. Houston went 15-3 last year in winning the regular season, and they have done it again. They're 18-1, and they have just been dominant during this nine-game winning streak. Their scores are very misleading. They just suffocate teams. And so a 10-point win for Houston is like a 20-point win for anybody else because of their style of play. So I've just been blown away by what Kelvin Sampson has done with that team. And then you look at Texas Tech and BYU, who's surging now. It's definitely been a wild, I would say really since about mid-January, this league has just been out of control.
Yeah, you're totally right about that, and certainly up in our neck of the woods, we've got two teams on our airwaves. We'll start with KU, the number one team coming into the year, not just in the Big 12, but across the country. Many polls had the Jayhawks as number one, and boy, we have seen them look exactly like the national championship favorites that they were, and we've seen them look anything but that this year. What do you make of this KU team that has had such, I mean, it's like whatever they, you know, they keep the heartbeat on in the hospital. That's kind of been the Jayhawks season this year, so up and down.
Yeah, what a weird year for Kansas and Kansas State when it comes to basketball. I mean, Kansas, you know, they handed Duke one of their only regular season losses back in November. They beat a really good Michigan State team. They had no problems with North Carolina. And then they've really stumbled here in Big 12 play and suffered more home losses than they ever have at Allen Fieldhouse in a season. And then Kansas State has really, you know, bookended what was a great middle part of their season, where over a 6 or 7 game stretch, they were the number one team, not just in the Big 12, but in the entire nation in terms of analytics and beating 3 top 10 teams in a row. But that stretch has been bookended by 2 miserable seasons for Kansas State. So it's just been a really, really weird year. I think the biggest thing with Kansas is they just, number one, Bill Self has struggled to find rotation. And there could be a couple of reasons for that. Some of it could be buy-in. Some of it could be injuries. And then some of it could be trust in these guys being able to go out there and know their role. I think that's the biggest thing with KU is I think they have struggled to find the right mix of guys that are all bought into what their role is within that team. And Kansas going into today, they're a 6th seed in the Big 12 tournament if they win at home against Arizona and Baylor loses to Houston. If Kansas wins and Baylor wins, Kansas is the 7th seed. But with a loss, if Arizona comes into Allen Fieldhouse and gets a win, Kansas could fall as far anywhere from the 7th seed to the 10th seed, not in the NCAA tournament, in the Big 12 tournament, something that coming into the season I never thought we would see in a million years.
I'm talking with James Wessling. He works for Big 12 Radio out of Dallas, also a play-by-play announcer on ESPN. You mentioned Kansas State. That was my next question. You want to talk about one of the streaky teams in the country. Came out of the gate, had some early success, winning most of their early games, and then a loss to St. John's. Felt bad at the time, but St. John's has turned out to be really good. The Drake loss felt bad at the time. Drake turned out to be pretty good with Ben McCollum and a couple of Northwest Missouri Bearcats there, but then they lost to Wichita State, which that has not turned out to be a really good loss. A really bad stretch to start the year, and then, as you mentioned, a great run where they beat Iowa State, Arizona State, KU, Arizona, and then another swoon before back-to-back wins. What do you think has been the source of Kansas State's inconsistency this year?
Well, I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that at the beginning of the year, Doug McDaniel was not getting his allotment of minutes that he needed to be the player that he's turned into. It can really mess with a guy, especially when you're in charge of running the offense and you're the point guard and you don't know if you're playing 15 minutes or if you're going to play 35 minutes going into a game. And a lot of times when guys don't know their role, they're afraid to make mistakes. And I felt like early in the season, that's what we saw from Doug McDaniel. Well, then Jerome Tang thrusts him into the starting lineup, and he balls out for a 6 or 7 game stretch. He was the best point guard in this conference and one of the best point guards in the country. So K-State had that small window of 7 or 8 games where they were really, really good. And then they stumbled on the road at BYU. And then injuries started to take their toll. And injuries are a big part of the game, especially with the Big 12 being the only league in America that plays a 20-game league slate and does not have a single bye throughout the course of their season. Some other leagues will play 20 games, but they'll start early December and give teams a couple weekends off throughout the course of the year. And the Big 12 doesn't do that. Everybody in the conference plays either on a Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, and then everybody plays on a Saturday or a Sunday. There are no nights off in the conference. And so I think that's a big reason why we've seen a lot of these teams get banged up throughout the course of the year. Kansas State's injuries just happen to come here at the tail end of the season. Coleman Hawkins probably won't play in the Big 12 tournament. That's a huge blow for Kansas State. Losing at home to Arizona State when they didn't have him, an Arizona State team that really was playing for absolutely nothing other than tape for the transfer portal and the NBA draft. That was an embarrassing loss. So it's been, like I said, it's just been a really weird year for both teams, and it's been pretty disappointing, I would say, for both.
Talking with James Wessling, we're going to stick with James' neck of the woods. As you guys know, a longtime fixture on radio in Salina, Kansas. And I think I could say this because we've got three Jayhawks that typically host our show. A very, very proud Kansas State Wildcat. And your Kansas State women's basketball team has had no shortage of success this year. But you mentioned injuries. Boy, it's hard to picture a bigger injury, men's or women's basketball, in the conference than Ayoka Lee for Kansas State. The Wildcats losing in the Big 12 tournament today to West Virginia, 73-69, which is West Virginia's no slouch of a team, but you look at Kansas State, still got some good pieces on this team with Tamira Poindexter, Serena Sundell, and others. They had a defensive honoree as well. But what do you think the ceiling is going to be for this team if Ayoka Lee is not able to come back? And it still feels a little nebulous as if we don't know if she's going to be able to come back for the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, something tells me that even if she plays, she's not going to be 100%. And she's not going to play her usual chunk of minutes. And so it pains me to say that I believe Kansas State has probably peaked when it comes to their season. They got by the first week or two without her. They had some huge wins. And then not having Ayoka Lee, as teams adjusted for Kansas State's tempo and their guards, really start to hurt K-State. I was not surprised that West Virginia beat Kansas State in that second round quarterfinal matchup. I kind of saw that coming, even though they had just played a couple of weeks ago, or even less than that. I think they played like 8 days ago, and West Virginia won that one too. West Virginia is just really physical, and they've got an outstanding guard in J.J. Quinterly who can score at will, and they press and they rebound, and they were just a matchup nightmare for Kansas State. So it pains me to say that I just don't see a scenario where Ayoka Lee is 100% healthy the rest of her career, which I believe is coming to an end you know, pretty quickly, because Kansas State, with that loss, they're not going to host, more than likely. They will not host in the NCAA tournament. I think that's a big blow. You know, now you've got to go on the road. So it's really been a deflating finish. They lost three of their last four games going into the Big 12 tournament, and they split. They beat UCF by 15. Yeah, that's great, but they were favored by 24.5. And then they lost to West Virginia. So it's been disappointing. It's been unforeseen circumstances, which just really stinks if you're a K-State women's basketball fan.
Going to a different shade of purple and going closer to your current address, this Texas Christian team at 16-2 on the women's side with the newcomer of the year, Haley Van Lith, and she was the player of the year. I think that maybe was the first time that's ever happened in the Big 12 Conference. Certainly the Horned Frogs coach, very, very deserving, and a team that is playing really well, 8 straight wins. How legit of a deep run do you think that TCU could be in terms of a threat to make a run in the NCAA tournament?
I think they can make a very deep run, and I go back to what they did in the non-conference. You know, they beat Notre Dame, they beat NC State, they beat some perennial powers in the non-conference, and you know that they're battle tested. I think they played UCLA in the non-conference. Like, they played 3 or 4 top 10 teams, and they held their own and even won a couple of them. And then they got into league play, and they only suffered one loss, and that was at K-State. They're a three-headed monster. Haley Van Lith at the point. Sedona Prince is the best big I believe we've seen in women's college basketball since Brittany Griner. Definitely the best big we've seen in the Big 12 since Brittany Griner. Just in terms of, she can get up and down the floor. She's a major shot blocker. She can shoot the basketball. She's phenomenal on the pick and roll. She's great defensively on the pick and roll. And then if that pick and roll game's not there, they've got a phenomenal sharpshooter in Madison Connor, who's one of the best three-point shooters in the country. And so it's really this big three that's carrying TCU. That's why they're not beating teams. You know, they're not scoring 80 or 90 points per game, because they're not really a full-court team. They prefer to play in the half-court with that pick-and-roll NBA-style offense, and it's working for them. They have two legitimate All-Americans, and in women's basketball, men's too, for that matter. If you've got two All-Americans, you can go a long ways.
Well, last thing for you here, James. You look at this Big 12 men's basketball tournament set to start this week. Format obviously is going to be a lot different than what people are used to. You can get up to a double bye in the Big 12 tournament, obviously, with having this many teams in and having everybody make it to the league. Certainly have to change some things up, but you're certainly rewarded. So KU falling down, you know, maybe as many as 5 seed lines, as you mentioned, could be extremely, extremely significant in terms of their path to a title. But you look at this league and this bracket that they are going to have, is this Houston's bracket to lose? Is it Houston's Big 12 conference tournament to win? Do you feel like there's anybody else that could come out and make a run? Because outside of maybe Texas Tech and Arizona, you go from BYU all the way down to maybe as far down as Utah in the standings, at least for me, I don't see a ton of separation. I don't necessarily see Arizona State, Colorado, or Oklahoma State or UCF being able to make any kind of a move. But I feel like outside of the top three, there's a lot of parity this year. How do you see this Big 12 tournament playing out?
Yeah, I agree. And there's still a lot at stake in terms of where these teams could potentially be seeded. Houston's locked in the 1 seed, Baylor's locked in the 4, and Iowa State's locked in the 5. Outside of that, everybody else can move a seed line up to as many as 4 seed lines based off of what happens on the final regular season Saturday. I don't think Houston's going to win the Big 12 tournament. They were the number 1 seed going into the Big 12 tournament last year. This was pre-Jamal Shedd injury, so that Houston team was healthy, and they got beat by 27 in the Big 12 championship game.
I remember that.
I mean, very, very rarely do you see teams that are the number 1 seed in the Big 12 tournament and have solidified a 1 seed in the NCAA tournament, which I believe Houston has. Those teams don't typically win their conference tournaments, because I don't want to say it's you know, a lackluster effort, but they're not afraid to rest guys. And so guys that play 30 or 35 minutes per game during the regular season, you might see them play 25 to 30 minutes in the Big 12 tournament. And in the case of Houston last year in the Big 12 championship game, they got down early in that game and they sat some of their starters, and they just kind of got out of Kansas City knowing that they were going to be a 1 seed in the NCAA tournament. And so I could see that scenario playing out again. I like Texas Tech because they're hot right now, and they're finally getting 100% healthy. I love that BYU team and what Kevin Young has done there. A potential quarterfinal matchup of BYU and Iowa State, I'm here for that on that 4-5 line. I still think Kansas can make a run. You know, this is essentially a home court atmosphere / environment anytime Kansas or Iowa State plays, and so I wouldn't be surprised to see either one of those teams sneak through and end up winning this thing. And if Arizona can make shots, that's been their biggest problem. They are set everywhere else, but they cannot make threes to save their life here the last 2 months of the season. It's been a real problem for Arizona. But if Caleb Love gets hot, I could see them running the table. So I do think it's wide open, you know, going into next week.
I think KU could very easily win the tournament, James, and it would not shock me if they lose. No matter who they're playing in the first round, that will not shock me either.
Same. I feel the same way about Kansas, and I have no idea what to expect in their game against Arizona. I could see them beating Arizona by 30 and making a statement. I could also see them suffering what would be like their fourth loss at home, at least their third this season at Allen Fieldhouse. I don't know.
Yeah, don't remind me. James Westling, Big 12 Radio, does a great job covering him. You could find everything on the TuneIn Radio app, also play-by-play announcer for ESPN, through many sports all up and down the dial all season long. James, really appreciate the time. Thank you so much. Enjoy the tournament in KC.
I will. We've got one final regular season tune-up before the tournament. I've got Cincinnati and Oklahoma State a little bit later on, which I'm intrigued by because, you know, Kansas State just beat Cincinnati, and what we thought would probably knock them out of the conversation for the NCAA tournament. Well, Joe Lunardi still has them somehow, some way, his next four out. So if they get this win against Oklahoma State and they win two games in the Big 12 tournament, maybe they're back in the conversation. But I think the Big 12 tournament is just one of the most spectacular events in all of college sports, and I'm a college sports junkie, and I can't wait.
James Westling of Big 12 Radio, and if you want to catch his game, Cincinnati and Oklahoma State, he'll have the play-by-play coverage on ESPN Plus for that game. That tips off at 2 o'clock this afternoon, Cincinnati and Oklahoma State on ESPN Plus. And, of course, you can find all of his Big 12 Radio content. They'll actually be broadcasting a couple of times up there live from Kansas City in their Big 12 Radio on the TuneIn Radio app, which brings us to our local coverage, and we have got a ton of it for you here today. So let's run through it here real quick. Of course, we've got Kansas State, their season finale against Iowa State, pregame this morning at 11:30 on Country 101.7, 12:30 for the tip-off. KU men's basketball, 2 o'clock pregame on KVOE. That's right here on the dial you're currently listening on. 3:30 for the tip-off. KU at Arizona. We'll see if the senior day streak will stay alive. Then we've got high school basketball area games tonight. 1A Division I boys sub-state final, Olpe and Central Burden. Pregame 4:40, tip-off at 5 on Country 101.7. And on Mix 104.9 tonight, we have got 1A Division II boys action, Lebo versus Hartford, 4:40 pregame, tipping at 5. And then later on tonight on KVOE right here, the Ohio Valley Conference Championship from Westwood 1, 7:45 pregame and the tip at 8. And then coming up tomorrow, we've got two more conference championship games, 11 a.m. Big South Conference Championship and 1:15, the end of Arch Madness. The Missouri Valley Conference Championship, that tips off at 1:15, both of those games right here on KVOE tomorrow. And obviously, as you know, we've got a ton of conference championship games lined up for you next week. Big East Women's Championship, Coastal Athletic Association, West Coast Conference Championship, and of course, KU basketball, Kansas State basketball at the Big 12 tournament. We'll see how long their stay is up there. We don't know that, but we'll bring you all those games, plus state tournament coverage from high schools in our listening area coming up next week. That is it for now. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you to our guests today, Coach Markowitz and James Westling, Coach Markowitz of Emporia High Baseball. For Tim and Dylan, I'm Blake Cripps. This is KVOE Emporia. We'll rejoin the Infinity Sports Network right after this on KVOE Live and Local. Have a great rest of your Saturday.